You are listening to Danny on What the Heck Podcast. This is the place where I share my experience, knowledge, and skills. Welcome along, Matthew.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I've forgotten your last name.
Oh, well, that's no good. You better recut that.
Yeah, no, I'll keep it in. It's good. Muse.
Matthew, that's right, yeah.
And you're the telephone guy.
I'm the telephone man.
Man. See, I've already stuffed it up twice. And we've
that's
just
all right, Danny. I'm used to working with children and amateurs.
Well, I'll fit in perfectly. No worries at all.
I'm only kidding.
Now, I've got 12 questions for you.
Okay.
And you can answer them any which way or form you like.
All right. I'll do my best.
And I don't really try to answer the same questions twice. So I've got my questions here. They're all written on the back of my cards.
All right. Oh, okay.
And I'm going to actually shuffle them.
Oh, that'll make a difference.
Yeah. And I have about 110 odd questions, and I've actually got a box of them in the garage. And when we come on here today, I thought, oh my goodness, my questions are in the garage, and it's all shut off with my green screen. So I grabbed another handful out of my drawer.
You don't know what they are either.
These might have been the questions I took out of the box because I didn't want to use them.
Okay.
Let's see. All right. The first question. Right. Oh, my goodness. I can't even say one of the words. What's one thing about you want in your eulogy?
Well, that's interesting. In my eulogy, or do you mean on my tombstone?
That might be a better one next time we do the questions.
Yeah.
Maybe. What would you like on your tombstone?
Okay. I think there are lots of glib responses to that, and there are some funny ones as well. But I think I would probably leave my tombstone for my wife to inscribe.
Right.
And as I think about it, she would probably write something like, "Here lies Matthew Muse, and he could make a good quiche."
A quiche. A baker. Brilliant. Food. I love it. Right, that's question one down. I've just realised I've got 13 questions, so you might get one extra.
Okay.
Now, does your family, I don't know anything about your family at all, and how did we originally meet? It would have been through the business networking in Dunedin.
It was. I'm a long-standing BNI-er and also very active on things like LinkedIn and everything else, and I'm sure somewhere around there, you sent me an invite to your very first meeting in Dunedin, yeah, which Lanier and I came along to support because whilst we're BNIs, we're networkers and we like meeting people. And that was how you and I met. And how many years ago would that have been?
Oh, it could be, I don't know, at least about 8 years. Probably. I think it must be 4 or 5. I used to literally drive from Christchurch to Dunedin.
That's right.
We had to run the meeting.
That's right. I remember.
So the question is, does your family have a motto, spoken or unspoken? So what motto does your family live by? Well, I don't think about your family, actually, unfortunately.
Well, my son seems to think it's have a good time all of the time. I don't really have a motto, except I suppose it's a bit of a philosophy about which is that when you give to people, you gain. And that you get out of something what you put into it, and usually effort equals reward.
I have to agree with that. I reckon, yeah, if you put the time and energy into something, you do get something back.
For sure.
A lot of people these days in the modern world, I think, expect instant results.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and I think that's the problem with instant results is that they're not usually sustainable.
No. Right. Next question. How do you describe being passionate?
Passionate. I think it's about as much as anything else, what it is that calls or talks to you. For me, in my business life, it's a passion for sharing the knowledge that I have with other people and seeing their success on the back of that. In my personal life, I think I'm passionate about many, many different things. I'm passionate, most of all, I would say, about the people that I love.
Yeah, that's cool. And I think if you're working in a job you're passionate about, you don't actually feel like you're working at all.
It's
lifestyle, isn't it?
It's almost like, I guess in later years, I understood what the word a calling is. I know that's usually used in different terms, but for me, I am the telephone man.
Yeah, cool. You've got a book as well, which we'll discuss near the end of this.
Got two books.
Two books. What was the other one?
My books, I've got one I share with Lynette called Supersize Your Sales, which is how you combine the power of the pen and phone when you're writing anything from proposals or calling people. And then I've got a dedicated book about the phone called Cold Calling Rules.
Yep.
And Lynette's got this new book out called Linkability, which is four proven strategies to develop your LinkedIn presence. So we've got quite a few books.
I think LinkedIn's my favorite social media.
Yeah.
So the other one's just a whole lot of noise. Okay. Now this is it's something you probably can't do at the moment, but if you were able to go on a holiday, would you rather holiday in Hawaii or Alaska? And why would that be?
I'm not great on ice and polar bears. I've seen enough of those on Attenborough. Hawaii, I've been there very briefly and seemed overpriced to me. To be fair, I think I'd probably pick somewhere else. But if I had to pick between the two, it would be the sunshine.
Yeah. And what was the last overseas destination you went to?
I think Vanuatu.
Vanuatu.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I was. Oh, that's an island.
It is.
I think so, I went there on a cruise ship. Would that be right? New Caledonia.
Probably. I remember. Remember seeing some of your photographs on Facebook when you were on a boat in Vanuatu. That rings a bell with me.
I was doing a last minute holiday at Christmas time, and I said to my flatmates, "We've got to get away." And I wanted to go to the Philippines, and then the travel agent freaked them out by saying that there's no accommodation there and it'd be really hard last minute.
Right.
And then I said, "Well, how about a cruise?" So me and my mate went on a cruise. And
how did you find that? How did you find cruising?
I think there was a saying on the boat that said, "Newlyweds, overfeds, nearly deads."
I can't think of anything worse than being stuck for 2 weeks with the same group of people. I can't think of anything worse.
They reckon the average person puts on a kg a day on the cruise ship.
Really?
To be honest, I wouldn't. It was pretty. We got to the stage where we started doing all the theatre stuff. We went to all the shows, and then we did. Me and my mate did a Zumba class.
Oh, really?
Oh, that was a hoot.
So did that help shift the weight?
I'm not coordinated because of dyslexia.
Yes.
But one thing we did get everyone on the, we encouraged people to do on the ship was you could walk around the ship three times and that would be a mile.
Oh, really? Okay.
So then every day we decided we'd walk an extra mile every day that we was cruising.
Right. Which ship were you on?
Oh, Princess. I think it was a Princess Cruise. And I've forgotten what it's called, but I had about.
One of my dear friends is an entertainer on the ships.
Right.
So I get to hear quite a lot about ship life, but from the other side.
Yeah, Princess Cruises were quite good, but I've forgotten the one that we're on, Diamond maybe, I can't remember. Right. But I think they have, for every two people, they have a person looking after you.
Yes.
It's quite amazing. I think there was 2,500 passengers and 700 people looking after us.
Wow.
So, yeah, and they use a lot of diesel too, by the way. Okay, so aside from the necessities, and I'm talking toothbrush and all that sort of stuff, what's one thing you could not go a day without?
My tech.
Your tech? Good man. Let's live it up. Everyone says if the internet wasn't here, life would be great, and I disagree with that.
Well, if the internet wasn't here, I'd still have tech.
Yeah. What's your favourite bit of technology?
Oh, it's hard to say. I'm sat here with my new ring light and my ice blue microphone. And I'm a bit of a techie person. I don't have a favorite. I mean, I love mine. I've got a new S20 as well from Samsung. Boring stuff that most people find boring excites me about. Pardon?
I'm an Apple guy all through and through.
Right. Okay, so what you do is you pay 25% more for a white box. But yeah, that's fine.
Get us started on that sort of stuff. My dog is called Apple.
Okay.
My dog.
Oh, it's just as well you didn't own a BlackBerry then.
Eh?
Just as well you didn't own a BlackBerry.
Now I've got these new aperture lights.
Right.
And they are amazing. The ring light?
Yeah.
You want to search aperture. There's four lights in front of me.
Yes.
And I can make them go like discos and they light me up brilliantly. And you can change the colour.
You've got three, haven't you, colours on it and warm.
I've got bright lights at the moment, half lights. And it's all adjustable on my phone.
Good.
Yeah, but I love tech. Good on you, mate. What characteristics do you most admire about other people? These are good questions today.
Which characteristics? Well, I'd like optimism, genuine enthusiasm. I like warmth. I like people who treat me the way they want to be treated. I like so many things. It's such a long list. What I will say is I've got a longer list on things I like about people than things I don't. And that's a nice feeling to have about the human race, I think.
Yeah, the human race at the moment is certainly acting and funny.
Oh, there's some wonderful people out there, Danny.
Yeah.
Fabulous people.
It's just, there's a different world. I'm interested to see what's going to be happening over the next couple of years to see where people take whatever they've learned. Hopefully they learn from all this sort of stuff.
Well, I think I'm a great optimist and believer in the adaptability of mankind, humankind. I think that our adaptability is one of the things that makes us so successful on this planet. You could argue that we're too successful. And maybe some of these things get balanced out over time. Who can tell? That's a really difficult picture to paint and look at in the future. But I do know that I have some connections who are what they call futurists. I didn't even know that was an occupation until I met them. And they talk very much about, prior to the pandemic, they were talking very much about how AI was going to be so influential in the future. Well, it's already here. So where that's going to go is going to probably be as much of a challenge to the human race as it is to an asset. So we'll see.
No, I'm watching, like, you email is something I'm trying to phase myself out of and making everything live.
Right.
Even this video.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, the video that we're doing at the moment is getting scribed into text.
Yes.
And basically I can do that as we talk. Yes. So at the end of this conversation, I have a whole lot of content that I can put on my website.
Fabulous.
The site that does that is called otter.ai.
Okay, I'll write that down.
It's brilliant. It'll be in the notes, but it's really good stuff. But you sort of think, well, that's pretty scary in a way, because what I'm doing now, instead of, I'm a blogger, I've done about 1,000 blogs.
Yes.
And I'm now voicing them into a video. And then it's writing the blog the way I want to say it. Yeah. So now I'm working my voice to make sure I'm pronouncing my words correctly.
Of course, yes.
One word I can't say is...
is it intelligent to your voice specifically?
No, it's just picking up voices. So when I ran my think tank meeting today, I had 12 people. And each time they speak, people over speaking doesn't help, but that's not polite. So eventually they'll get better at it.
Yeah.
But it listens to their voice. And then the next time I do my next meeting, it remembers what it learned from the voices previously. Fantastic. And it will pick up their voices and match it to the text.
Great stuff. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. It's just where it's going. It's quite exciting, really.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Where would you like to get your clients from?
Where do I like to, do you mean where do my inquiries come from?
No, where would you like to get them from? Like, what type of clients would you like to knock on your door? Client come and knocked on your door?
Oh, I'm very lucky. I already have a client list of clients that come along the way I'd like them to, which is usually by referral. Or they have seen me speak at conference and they come and say, I really like what you said there. Can you do something to help my team? So I'm very lucky in the sense that all of my inquiries come from, I guess, just being able to be the telephone man, whether that's doing things like this, or whether it's my presence on the social media platforms, or my series of videos, or all the streams that I have out there seem to attract the inquiry and my clients. Some of them are based overseas, some of them are in New Zealand. So I really couldn't wish for more.
That's cool. I like the sound of that. I think it's by association, the people you hang around, you can work with those people.
I think that's true to a degree, but I think it also you have to at some stage accept that the body of work that you have produced stands up to scrutiny. Because if you create a body of work and you have an archive and you can show that sitting over your shoulder are a whole group of people who have used that library and those particular products or techniques and been successful, then you realize that you are, there's no room for fraud syndrome about how you might feel about your own self and product, because you've already got a legion behind you that have stood up and said, hey, that works. So it's a bit of confidence, I think, that comes from that.
Love it. What was the last movie you went to? Now, not watched on Netflix.
Last movie I went to? Oh, gosh.
That'd be a good one.
The last movie I went to get an experience of was Samsara.
I don't even know what that movie was.
Well, I would recommend, if you like, it's a bit of an art house movie, but it's actually quite relevant to where we are right now.
Right.
It's about 7 years old, maybe. And it's filmed across five continents over 5 years. And it's got no script. It's purely visual and sound.
Wow.
And it starts off as a journey, if you like, of humanity. And it's about an hour and 40 minutes. And if you have access to other chat platforms, I don't think it's available on Netflix, but any of those others that we're not allowed to really officially look at, I'm sure you'll find Samsara.
Right. Oh, yeah. Excellent. Love that. Okay. What makes you laugh the most?
Oh, comedy. People. People make me laugh. You hear the funniest, see the funniest things. Something funny. I went to my woodshed this morning. First thing, the woodshed is a big producer in town of firewood. And so you drive in and there's all the lads are all there on their trucks and they're all there on their diggers and there's wood piled up everywhere that you look. And I've got to know them quite well. And I pulled in this morning at about 8:15 and there were three of them in the corner having a cup of tea. And I walked over and I said, well, how's it going, guys? And they said, oh, we just had a funny thing happen this morning. I said, what was funny? He said, well, this old fella arrived, quite an old fella. I was what, older than me? He said, oh, you're a little bit older. And he got out of the car and he had his mask on.
Oh, yes.
He had his gloves on and he had a cape on.
Yes, you do.
An apron. And he said, he then proceeded to load all the wood into the back of his vehicle. And by the time he'd loaded the wood into the back of his vehicle, his mask was ripped, his gloves were gone, and his apron was hanging off him. Like, And I had this image of this poor fella trying to do the right thing, and yet probably has never done the wood run before. No, so people make me laugh, Danny, and comedy. If I had a favourite comedian, it would be someone like Peter Kay.
Oh, yeah. I used to like John Cleese a lot.
Right.
I still remember him wanting to whip his car. And he said, I'm going to count to three.
Yes.
Classic. That's it. I've had enough. Good stuff, mate. Okay, where in the world? Oh, we might have already covered something like this. Where in the world would you travel to next? I think we asked that question.
Travel to next. We've kind of done that one, but I think all bets are off at the moment, really.
Yeah, it was Vanuatu, wasn't it? Yeah, it is funny. Like, I think travel might start up again. I don't know if you've ever met a guy by the name of Brent Ruru. But he's biked the length of New Zealand, walked the length of New Zealand, and then he went to Canada and biked across Canada on a tandem bike with his wife. He walked the Camino Trail, and I bumped into him on Monday in a cafe, and he said he's just got himself a full-time job. And I said, so where are you traveling to next? And he says, I love traveling so much. And it was just amazing. He's got no real plans to travel, and he's a big traveler.
It's funny, you know, about travel, as you know, I'm based in Dunedin, but I get to travel all over the place usually.
Yes.
And that's why the wonderful thing, like I said earlier on about tech, I love tech. Here you and I are, you're in Christchurch and I'm in Dunedin, and it's like we're in the same room again, you know, like we normally are when we connect. Yeah. I think a lot of people are discovering New Zealand as their home and backyard. Mm. I see that down here, and when I travel in my small bubbles. And I hear it anecdotally that there are a lot of New Zealanders traveling around the country and exploring it before they might have gone to Fiji, they might have gone to Australia, they might have done the European experience. But they'd never been to somewhere, you know, in the middle of the north or the middle of the south or the bottom or wherever. So I think, again, it's on the more positive side of things. I think Kiwis have an opportunity to re-engage with this amazing country that they have. It is. I sound like the tourist board, but I just love the place. It's.
Well,
it's
my partner Helen and I, we went to Merecki. Now, I've gone to the Merecki Boulders Cafe, but
it's only around the corner
from the township. And we managed to get a last minute reservation at Fleur's Cafe.
Fleur's, oh yes.
And I thought, I could live in this place. And I think it's not that far away. And then we go to Oamaru a lot. And then we finished up in Naseby, Alexandra. Yes. And we keep going for these little mini trips.
Yeah.
So now we are lucky.
It's a great thing to be able to suddenly realise that you have a destination on your doorstep instead of at the end of a airport ride.
Yeah, I went to China, Bangladesh, and India over Christmas.
Wow.
And we're so lucky. That's all I need to
say. I know. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, we've got what motivates you to get out of bed in the morning?
What motivates me to get out of bed in the morning? Well, I feel like I'm repeating myself, really. It's the people I work with, the people that I surround myself with. And I live in a wonderful house, the best house I've ever lived in, and we live on harbour views, and it means I get to see a train, a boat, a plane, a helicopter, cars and trucks every single day, going right past my window, which overlooks the peninsula. So what gets me out of bed in the morning is life.
Right. Can you, over the road from you, is that Larnach Castle? Was that where you are?
Opposite, yeah. Larnach Castle's opposite and down slightly.
And what's the wee city at the end? I mean, it's not a city, but what's that, the town at the very end of that road that you go down? Because we went there.
Oh, Carries Bay?
Must have been where the port and the ship.
That's Carries Bay. Yeah, it has a little pub in the corner and that's where all the cruise ships come in.
Yes.
Usually. Yep. And the containers. That's Carries Bay. So that's about 10 minutes up the coast that way, and Dunedin's about 4 minutes that way.
I know. So, it is a beautiful place. And it's quite, I used to always go to Dunedin, right? And I never went on that side and never discovered it until I got a bit older. And I think I turned up at Larnach Castle. We went for a drive one night, finished up there at 11 o'clock at night.
Yes, it's a lovely place.
At the drive, you know, and then you think, oh, you just don't see the right part of Dunedin, do you?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Right, last question, and then we'll ask you what you do and who you are. What are your hobbies?
Oh, right, okay. So my hobbies are pretty much gardening. Now, when I say gardening, what I have to say is that I am a little further down the scale from the head gardener.
Yeah.
I'm more sort of in the labourer side. Management is the head gardener, and I do all that other stuff. But I have to say the gardens are looking fantastic. In terms of pastime, I'm a great fisherman, but there's nothing to catch down here because it's so damn cold. So I don't do much fishing anymore, but I am a football fan. So I have a subscription to the English Premier League, which I digest at weekends as much as I can.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm going to rugby today. I haven't been to a rugby. I don't go to rugby much, but we've got some free tickets to go to the rugby today. But it's going to be funny getting out with a bunch of people.
You struggle with that game, Danny. I've really given it a good go because I consider myself, you can probably tell, as you know, I'm English, but I've been here in New Zealand, a resident for over 30 years, and I think you've got to embrace the cultural sports and icons that are out there. Yeah. And I've tried with rugby. I just can't quite get there.
You like the round ball?
Yeah, round ball, flat surface. Is there a greater skill?
Because kicking the rugby ball doesn't make sense on the ground.
But I still can't work out what they're doing. I know it's me. I know it's a fantastic game. It's just, and I've been to loads, and I always enjoy the crowd, to be fair. Especially Kiwis, they're so passionate about it.
I don't really follow much sport, but every now and again, I don't even think I've been to an All Black game in my life. But
you should go to one.
I'll get there one day.
It's very different from a normal game. Yeah. It's very different, but I would say cooking is pretty high up there. I'm a bit of a foodie. I don't mean fussy nonsense, but I just mean proper food cooked well.
Well, I tell you something that Helen and I, my partner, did. When I came back from India, she suggested that we went vegetarian.
Oh, really?
And then we listened to a Netflix documentary called The Game Changer.
Right.
And they talked about adopting a plant-based diet, which is basically a vegan.
Yes.
We've been doing that for the last 11 months.
And how's that going?
Oh, give me – no, I'm fine. But I've actually really enjoyed it. And I have a lot more – well, I feel like I'm healthier, but I'm gluten-free as well, so it doesn't help.
Yeah.
The funny thing is when we go into a restaurant and you say you're vegan, they kind of go, oh. And then I say that I'm gluten-free, and they go, oh. And then I'm dyslexic and I can't read the menu. So can you recommend something I could eat?
Well, do you eat eggs?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Imagine I can imagine. Of course, I can. I'm trying to while you're talking to me, I'm thinking, well, if Danny came to my house, what can I make him? Yeah, and I'm trying to think of all the things that I make, and I'd have to. Well, I just have to make something. Invent a salad.
Yeah, that's funny, but yeah, we get one of those food bag thingies dropped off, and that helps us keep us sort of three or four meals a week.
Okay.
So Matthew, you've come along here today, and you've answered my 12 questions, and hopefully you feel relaxed and at one with the world.
I'm not sure whether I didn't feel like that already, but I have to say it's been a very interesting. I've been on a lot of podcasts, and I'm very lucky to get invited on quite a few.
This is the first one
where I have ever been put on the spot by the host who said, right, we're not going to have a script. We're not going to do anything. All I'm going to do is ask you some questions. Yeah. And so that's been fun. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
That's right. Now, can you tell us a little bit about you? Like, what do you actually do?
Okay. Would you like the elevator pitch? Would you like that?
I can do, because at the end of the day, we've put a full of the dots of all the questions I've asked you. So people are trying to figure out who is this guy and what does he do and why is he so passionate about what he does?
Okay. So I'm Matthew Muse. I'm the telephone man. I'm a business by phone specialist. I'm a telephone skills trainer. And I help people get more of the word that they want to hear every single day in business on the telephone. And that word is yes.
Wow. Just like that. And you're a publisher of two books. I didn't realize you had two books.
Yep.
And your wife, Lynette, is also...
Lynette, yes.
And she's got a book as well.
Yes, she has a book that's just been launched. She's got a book launch next week on LinkedIn.
Ah, good.
It's called Linkability. And it's not a starter's book. It's for people that really have, I would say anybody who's up there been a LinkedIn user. It's about how to use four strategies to improve everything you do and get more connections, to get more presence, and ultimately, let's be fair, more business. And so the book's been going great for Lynette. She's on fire with it, really. And I'm hoping that at some stage you and she'll have a chat.
Yeah, no, definitely. The other one is I tell people, I went to the chiropractor the other day because I've got a terrible back at the moment, and he came out with a book. And I get a phobia when I see people with books because I think they want me to read them.
That's right.
And I've never read a book in my life, literally. And then the next time I went to see him, he pulled out the same book and he said, I'll give you this to read while you're getting some electrics on your back. And I'm going, oh, look, man, I'm dyslexic and I don't read. And he said, I'm dyslexic as well. And I said, I don't read books. And he said, but this one has pictures in it, and that's why I've picked it. And I thought, oh, brilliant. So it was really a hard case. But the thing is, audio books, I love audio books.
Well, as I said to you before we started this chat today, I'll send you, we were going to send you a hard copy. And I said to Lynette, no, don't send Danny a hard copy. You'd like an audio. Apart from the fact that, as you mentioned, you're dyslexic, you're probably a lot like me as well, Danny, in the sense that you like to listen to things while you're on the go.
Yeah.
And that's what I do as well. I listen to a lot of audio books. And so Lynette has transcribed it all into, obviously she's got it on all the platforms and everything else, but Linkability is also an audio book as well. And that was interesting having that recorded. The house was relatively quiet for several hours, as you can imagine. So, but I'll make sure that you get a copy of that.
Oh, thank you very much. And it'd be awesome. I will listen to it. And I do listen to them in my car a lot. Funny enough, I never understood when people would say that they would go to a movie and they'd come out and they'd say the book was better.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I just can't comprehend that. And then the first audio book I ever listened to was the autobiography of Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, yes.
And, oh, my goodness. So the first time I felt like I'd actually realize why people spend all the time reading these terrible books. And it was just such a brilliant book. And that's got me. I've probably got about 100 audio books now that I listen to. Some of them I listen to over and over again.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a good thing because it reinforces some of the, you know, there are some fantastically powerful things. I think it's why people sometimes read a book four or five times. Yeah. Sometimes they'll watch a movie three or four times because there's something there that's just for them. Mm. But I think the great thing about an audio book is they're generally, rarely, unless you're listening to some of the classics, they're rarely word for word. They're original vocalization or of the theme of the book sometimes. I think Lanier has done this pretty close to the book. That was her plan. Of course, her background in broadcasting means that she's got one of those voices that hopefully are nice to listen to. Well, I am her husband.
A bit biased. When I listened to Richard Branson's book, I think the third book he didn't voice it himself, and I think that changed my feeling on listening to other books.
Right.
Yeah. It's quite an art. I mean, if you can do it, some people can.
Yes.
What's your website address, Matthew?
My website address is supersizeyoursales.com.
.com. Well done. Well, I'll end it here, but thank you once again for coming along.
Oh, hey, lovely to talk to you, Danny. And I've enjoyed it. It's been emotional.
No, good stuff. All right.